Hello, fellow humans. In the last part of our series, Undoing Capitalism, I'll talk about the idea of economic growth. This is probably the most talked about and least understood economic ideas. We have been taught and told to accept lots of assumptions about economic growth and stop asking questions. Today, we'll talk about the evils of economic growth and how we can undo them. For the rest of this video, when I say growth, I will mean economic growth. There are basically three kinds of growth: growth from above, growth from the middle out, and growth from below. Growth from above is what we hear from our government officials. We need to grow the economy. We need to produce more. We need to build more. We need to create more jobs. All these are about growth. And all these are supposed to increase the economic agitation. The second kind of growth is from the middle out. This growth is created and demanded by corporations when they ask for tax cuts and the elimination of bureaucracy and regulations. They want this so they can grow their operations, increase their market share, expand internationally, and so on. These corporations claim they need to grow because this is how they create jobs. The more freedom they have to grow, the more jobs are created, so everyone benefits, according to them. The third kind of growth is from below, and it happens when workers demand increases in wages and benefits. This is a signal workers send that their needs are not covered, so the economy needs to grow so their needs can be covered. Why do workers want more money and more benefits? They need more money so they can consume more to live, and they need benefits so they can live a better life. Governments believe they have to increase the economic agitation so companies can pay higher wages so people can consume more. So far, so good. But the devil is in the details. Growth is not bad in itself because the population has grown to over 8 billion. And our needs are a bit more sophisticated because we now consider communication a fundamental need. Needs is what keep us alive, and wants are just psychological fads. Wants do not keep us alive. Transportation is a need. A personal car is a want when public transportation is available. Flying by plane for most people is a want, not a need. The problem is that growth is very unequally distributed and has almost no connection to the real needs of humans or to hard work. Growth, as we understand it today, has evolved from colonialism and imperialism to mean the increase of the gross domestic product. GDP is just a number that shows in dollars, euros, or whatever currency how many things were bought and sold within a country during the year. We are told to believe that an increase in GDP is the same as economic growth. We have to increase the GDP if we want growth, so we can do all those things: higher wages, more benefits, more consumption. The focus on GDP has been promoted aggressively by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development after World War II. GDP has become a measure for growth and the only thing that matters. Growth is understood as a remedy for the most pressing challenges in society. Growth is a universal yardstick, which was identical to well-being, progress, modernity, social dynamism, national power, or prestige. And growth could continue potentially without limits for decades and maybe forever if governments did the right thing. This is how growth has become the fabric of capitalism, the core assumption, the core incentive of all economic activity. At the same time, all this growth has led to what is known as the Great Acceleration, which was an exponential growth in the extraction of material, in pollution, in waste, and environmental degradation. This has put us, as a civilization, in a position to use more than what Earth can sustain. This is the ecological overshoot. Science has made it crystal clear that if we continue on this path, we will wipe out life on Earth. Human civilization will disappear. What does it mean to undo the obsession with growth? Three things: new metrics, new incentives, and new limits. New metrics must replace the GDP. These new metrics, which have been discussed for decades, including by the OECD, will have to show us what really matters for life: how much free time we have, how healthy we are, how happy we are, how free do we feel. Cutting down forests and producing more military equipment so the GDP can go up does not add any quality of life for anybody. Second, new incentives would need to replace the quest for wealth accumulation, which is the backbone of capitalism. These new incentives can be about sufficiency and well-being. Sufficiency means having enough to cover all your needs without significant effort and without sacrifice, while allowing all other humans on Earth to do the same with the same amount of equivalent resources used. Well-being means aiming to increase the quality of life above the minimum threshold of sufficiency, so everyone gets the chance to explore their full natural potential in life. This means, for example, if a girl with the IQ and potential of Einstein is born in a slum in Africa, she would have all chances to grow to that potential without being disadvantaged because of her place of birth or social status. Third, limits on wealth and the use of energy and materials should be established in the form of fair use. If we do not put a maximum limit on wealth, for example, and if we maintain inequality of power and massive inequality in lifestyles, we will not fix the problems caused by excessive growth. There's just no other way. Rich humans have used many times over their fair share. It is time they give it back. And also, growth from above can be replaced with electoral reform. The OECD, the IMF, the World Bank, governments, and influential think tanks are packed with experts of questionable quality and dubious motives. These people are unelected and they're endowed with enormous power. The people at OECD have largely shaped the hegemony of growth, which has put us in this catastrophic situation. Elections should be replaced with government by qualified lottery. Positions of massive accountability should also be filled by qualified lottery for a limited term. We cannot let power remain in the hands of unelected elites. Growth from the middle out can be replaced with economic democracy, which we discussed in part 3. Corporations must be democratized in such a way that all workers will share the power of decision over what is produced and how much is produced. Workers and consumers will decide democratically if production really serves the needs of humans. Production that destroys life on Earth should be phased out. Production that serves the basic social needs of all humans should be phased in. Growth from below can be replaced with the culture of sufficiency and well-being. The advertising industrial complex has worked really hard to create fake needs just to boost growth. In 1954, the American industrial designer Brooks Stevens coined the term planned obsolescence at an advertising conference. Stevens had defined it as instilling in the buyer the desire to own something a little newer, a little better, a little sooner than it is necessary. It was never about needs. It was always about desires. It was about growth for its own sake. It was about the expansion of capitalism. So, what should we do tomorrow? We should tax wealth, not work, like crazy, to the extent of establishing a maximum limit on wealth of about $5 million in all countries. We should establish a national universal basic income and a universal basic services, both aimed at establishing a decent level of sufficiency. And in order to work towards a well-being society, a job guarantee program will give a decent job to anyone interested. These would be decent, good-paying jobs aimed at serving the needs and the sufficiency of the community. If we started just with these four things, we can phase out the obsession with growth. Every one of you, where you are, you can ask for these things from your elected politicians, from your unions, from your bosses. Get organized and get involved. This is how we can win this. History teaches us that over and over again, when people organize, they can get things done, from the 8-hour workday to paid vacation to universal suffrage. This time around, the task is much more difficult because we have to change the way the economy is organized. What choice do we have but to try, and to try right now before it's too late? Thank you for watching. Thank you to all of you who support me on Patreon. Your monthly contributions make this research possible. Subscribe to the channel to help with the algorithm. And let's replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.